Just Measures Radio is on the air.
Has led you to the Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be. Since I found serenity, you can't take the sky from me.
And again, my friends, welcome to the Tinker Shop. You're on Just Measures Radio. Also, let me welcome everyone who is listening via the archives and those who are listening on the podcast in the future. It's now Saturday night, the 23rd of February, 2014. And speaking of moving ahead, why don't I just go ahead and start the evening out here with one piece of music that, give us something to look forward to enjoy the coming season.
Praise to all living things, praise to the maiden and the joy that she brings, praise to the earth, let all the creatures now sing, hope is renewed with the coming of spring. Return from darkness and the wise crone within. Return to the maiden and creation begin. It's a time for things growing, a time now for flowing, time now for sowing the seeds of your dream. So praise to the spring, praise to all living things, praise to the maiden and the joy that she brings, praise to the earth, let all the creatures now sing, hope is renewed with the coming of the spring. The heart fires are stirring with the new life returning. It's time now for learning what rebirth truly means. And we honor ourselves and all the fairies and elves. May we dance and ring bells for the coming of the spring. So praise to the spring, praise to all living things, praise to the maiden and the joy that she brings, praise to the earth, let all the creatures now sing, hope is renewed with the coming of the spring. So open your heart to nature's wondrous art. Time now to start the heathen of the green. Young rabbits abound, and there's flowers all around. The air is filled with the sound of the coming of the spring. Praise to the spring, praise to all living things. Praise to the maiden and the joy that she brings. Praise to the earth and all the creatures now sing. Hope is renewed with the coming of the spring. Flowers all around, the air is filled with the sound of the coming of the spring. So praise to the spring, praise to all living things. Praise to the maiden and the joy that she brings. Praise to the earth and all the creatures now sing. Hope is renewed with the coming of the spring.
Yes, the coming of the spring. Can't come too soon for me. I'm getting tired of being cold here. Anyway, like I'd said earlier, this is the Tinker, as always, joined by my able assistant, the Tinkerbell. So with all that said, let's see, go ahead and review here a little bit. Last week, I went ahead and did the first portion of Brewing 101, so tonight we will be embarking on the second program in this series. And we're going to probably have several weeks of this, but I want to make sure that, how best to put it, make sure that I get the concepts across for the, I guess you could say, the art of brewing. There's also a little bit of science in there, but a large part of it is art. So with that said, let me go ahead. I'll go ahead and either I will or Tinkerbell will drop the link into the chat room for the webpage that we're going to be working from tonight. And that is out at http://arlen-tower.com/tinkers with a T, a capital T, and then underscore shop. And that will bring us out to the webpage. We'll give everybody a few seconds here that are going out to the webpage to give them a chance to pull it up and take a look at it. Now that we're out to the Welcome to the Tinker Shop webpage, go ahead and scroll down, as always, to near the bottom of the page. You will see a link there that says Brewing 101. So go ahead and click on that, and that will bring us to a new page. I guess you'd say a new page. I've been kind of messing with this for a little bit for the last week or so, but it's new to you. And on here, you're going to see something a little bit different. I've gone ahead here this week and, I should probably say just basically totally revamped the whole website. All the secondary pages. The main page, as you can see, was pretty much the same as always, but here on the sub pages, they've all been reworked now, and I have a much better audio player on the site. And the new web player that's there, we will actually have all the archives that are associated with each page basically in a list, where you can just click on it and it'll start to play. So, okay, so now, where should we start? Yeah, first block here, it's basically a summary of what I had last week, and it's basically saying here that brewing in and of itself can be considered almost a generic term. In our case, we're going to be using it to describe the process of producing drinkable liquids. And again, as I've said before, over the next few weeks, I will describe and show some of the basic techniques and tools used in brewing beer, wine, and homemade sodas. And we actually have a little bit of a, oh, let's see here, how best to put it, more of a definition of the purity order for under the German purity law, and it's the Reinheitsgebot. And yes, this was the, you know, the laws that were instituted back in, oh, about 500 years ago in Germany. And at that time, when it was originally written, basically they just said that beer was to be brewed from water, hops, and barley, nothing else. Eventually, once they realized that, oh, what does the trick for getting the brewing going, it was yeast, and that was also added. And in here, too, on this page, you're going to see several links in here. There's one in here where you can actually listen to the pronunciation, Reinheitsgebot. There's also one here for beer, one for barley, and one for hops. And these actually are links to various Wikipedia articles, you know, dealing with all those things. Obviously, I can't totally tell you everything about all of this, but at least we can go ahead and give, like I said, basically an overview. So if we scroll down a little bit more here. Again, like I promised, we've got some pictures tonight. And like I said, you know, this is how best to explain it. In this particular section of the page, this is really all the stuff that's used for making beer. The water, the fermentable starches, sugars, yeast, hops, and other things that are added. So first off, the water portion. Water is, you know, very important for making beer. It's very important for everything. And when you're brewing beer, what you'll want to have is either filtered water or water as pure as you can get it. You don't need to go out and buy distilled water or anything of that sort. Tap water, if you have a water filter, that is perfectly sufficient. It'll do the job, because during the brewing process, you're going to be doing a boil. And when you boil water for an hour at a low boil, it's going to get most of the additives out. So if your water is chlorinated in your city or your town, you know, that hour boil is going to get rid of most of that. But your biggest thing to remember is that your water has to be clean. You know, you don't want to have extra particulate matter floating in it. So yeah, you can, but I wouldn't recommend it, you know, going out and grabbing, you know, several buckets of water from your local stream. You're going to have to process that, you know, filter it really well, clean it up, everything else. But for our purposes, since currently we, most of us have access to running water either from our own wells or from city water, that definitely will be sufficient. Next thing that's needed for beer brewing is, like I said, you know, fermentable starches and sugars. And this photo to the right of that actually is basically a double handful of malted barley. And this is the barley that has been sprouted. And then once it's, you know, reached its appropriate length at that point, the barley is dried. And let's see here. Let's go down here just another notch here. Yeast. Usually with brewing, you're going to use a dry yeast, basically where the yeast come. I usually use Cooper's yeast for beer brewing, and that is an Australian yeast, and it's quite good. There are other beer yeasts that one can purchase in, you know, almost any homebrew shop, or you can search them out online, and they all work equally well. Okay, so next point here is hops. And again, the photo isn't real large here to the side, but that is a photo of a single hop flower. And what people usually refer to as hops, it's actually the flower from the hop plant after it's grown and become mature. Hops, when one buys them from a store or wherever, they've actually been harvested from the vines. They go ahead and clean them, and then the hops are compressed down, you know, by pressing. So once you get them, they'll come in a packet, you know, air sealed packet, silver packets, and they, you know, they're a dry product. Now I'd mentioned again that I'm going to be going ahead here and doing a brew here in probably the next couple of weeks, and using a couple different varieties of hops. I just thought of something that I was going to mention, so I'm going to go ahead and basically go back here one step, going back to the yeast portion. Yeasts come in two forms, or not two forms, two basic strains that are used for beer making. There's a what's called a top fermenting yeast, which is basically where the yeast floats in your sweet wort and basically gathers near the top of the whole container that you're fermenting in. And it almost forms like a mat at the top. And then there's another type, which is a bottom fermenting yeast, which, again, follows logically. The yeast basically falls to the bottom, and that's where it grows and processes any of the sugars in your sweet wort. Generally, a top fermenting yeast is used to produce ale. A bottom fermenting yeast is used to produce a lager beer. A lager beer is fermented at a lower temperature and over a longer period of time than an ale. Generally speaking, most beer that you find, unless it's a specialty imported beer, will be an ale. So that's, like I said, that was something I needed to backstep to. Okay, so going back to the portion on hops. Okay, hops have, different characteristics, between the different strains. For example, the one packet I have in my hand here right now, it's referred to as Mount Hood hops. And in here, for example, this one says that the aroma is mild and somewhat pungent, and the typical beer styles, in other words, the types of beer that are brewed. This can be used in a lager, a pilsner, a bock, wheat, and a Munich Helles style. And hops are graded on two main categories, the alpha acids and the beta acids in them. And those numbers obviously start out at zero, which, would be, basically no flavoring or no bittering capability. And they run on up from there. For example, this Mount Hood has an alpha value of 6.1% and a beta value of 7.1. And let me reach over here to my side. There's another one here that I'd mentioned in the past. It's called Falconer's Flight. And this particular one, it says that it's floral and citrus. That's its flavors. But the alpha acids in this are at 11.4%, and the betas are at 4.4. So with the difference in the alpha acids in here, they add different characteristics to a beer. When you do... when you're hopping your beer, you usually use at least two types of hops, and sometimes, three, four, or even more types. But you have one that's put in initially when your wort is brought to a boil, and this is what gives you the bitterness to the beer. I myself, when I do a brew, I'll usually use a hops that has a lower alpha value on it. In this case, it'll be the Mount Hood. And what it'll do is it'll give a nice undertone of a bitterness, because that's actually what characterizes beer, is the bittering flavoring. And so I like to lighten the bittering somewhat, but when I get to near the end of the boil, like in the last 15 minutes of it, I'll put in a different hop. And in this case, like I said, I'm going to be using this Falconer's Flight, which is a bit stronger, a hop. But this has a, more of a floral or a citrusy flavor or scent. And so that way you have kind of a nice overtone or a aroma to your beer. Let's see here. I should probably go ahead here too and mention how the hops are put in. Generally what's done in a lot of home brewing situations is people use a hop sock to put their hops in. makes a makes for shall we say an easier cleanup of your wort once you get through boiling it. What a hop sock is, it's basically almost like a gauze bag that you put your loose hops into, and then you just tie the bag off. What happens when you boil the hops in beer? They soak up some of the water from your wort, and so they'll basically be rehydrating themselves, and they'll expand. And that way, if it's held inside of this sock, you know, all the loose leaves and such don't get mixed with your wort. Usually what happens when you're doing this, like I said, I use at least two different varieties. So what I do is I put them in a separate sock, you know, so I can fish them out once I'm through. First hop, which is your bittering or flavoring hop, goes in right away as soon as your wort comes to a boil. Your second hopping of your beer is usually done in the last 10 to 15 minutes of your boil. The boils when you make beer, generally speaking, for a homebrew, is roughly an hour long. That gives enough time for any of the flavorings from the hops to be, well, basically for being rehydrated and for the flavoring oils and agents in there to be, well, I guess you could say dissolved into your beer. So at this point, I think what I'll do is I'm just going to go ahead and in a minute or two, I'll go ahead and play a couple of, well, actually I should go ahead here as we're getting about at the 20 minute point or so. So I'll be doing a commercial and then a piece of music. And this piece of music was requested about a week or so back by someone in the chat room. And that is the Patriot game. Let's see, what else should we do here? Housekeeping here. Oh, yes. I'll do this first and say this first. Then I'll go ahead and play the music in the commercial. And then we will come back and proceed on to some other sections. These first four things I talked about here tonight, the water, the fermentable starches or sugars, yeast, and hops. Those are the main components for beer. The other two items here in the list where I have adjuncts, which is extra starches, flavorings, and sugars. These are a couple things that I use when I'm making a dark beer. The sugar that's shown here is Demerara sugar. It's basically like a raw cane sugar where they take the cane syrup and they evaporate it down, and once they have it crystallized completely, that's where they stop. Normally for, you know, table sugar, once they get it crystallized, then they'll go ahead and wash it and bleach it and basically take everything out of it except for the sugar molecules. I like having some of the more trace molasses flavors, and this Demerara actually almost has almost a toffee type flavor. You've probably seen things like this before. What do they call it? One of the packets that you can sometimes find, they call it sugar in the raw, or it's referred to as turbinado sugar. And the final thing here in the list here is a can of Hershey's dark cocoa powder. And again, when I'm making like a 5-gallon batch of a dark beer, I'll generally use anywhere from 2 to 4 ounces of dark cocoa powder. So, with that said, I think it's now time for a piece of music here, the Patriot game, and then we'll go ahead with a commercial, and then we will be back right after that.
Come all you young rebels and list while I sing. For the love of one's country is a terrible thing. It banishes fear with the speed of a flame, and it makes us all part of the Patriot game.
My name is O'Hanlon, and I'm just gone 16. My home is in Monaghan, where I was weaned. I've learned all my life cruel England to blame, and so I'm a part of the patriot game. It's barely 2 years since I wandered away with a local battalion of the bold IRA. I'd read of our heroes, and I wanted the same, to play up my part in the patriot game. This island of ours has for long been half free. 6 counties are under John Bull's tyranny. So I gave up my boyhood to drill and to train, to play my own part in the patriot game. Now as I lie here, my body all holds, I think of those traitors who bargained and sold. I wish that my rifle had given the same Quislings who sold out the patriot game.
Hurricanes, tornadoes, western firestorms, earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Who do you turn to? You turn to Kat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the MediChat and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. The MediChat, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Years ago, I uttered the phrase too late as a warning that silver and gold prices would soon skyrocket, and thus they have this year. With our current financial predicament, you might want to consider someone who supplies silver American Eagles and other precious metals, a family dealer up in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Just Measures Coin Shop. Call Bobby at 812-305-7091 or click on the link at my homepage at johngaultfla.com.
Well, we're back now, and back with the Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio. And since I took a little time here during the break here just to kind of look over my pages, which I've created, I decided perhaps if I continue on here tonight, we're going to probably run out of time and I'll be rushing things if I go on to the next section about the traditional brewing flowchart. So I probably will touch on that before we close tonight and just kind of give a real quick summary of it. But then next week I'll go ahead and continue on and get into that more depth. But before we do that, let me do this here. If we scroll back up here on the page just a little bit to our section here of the elements of a fermented beverage. Obviously, we all know what water's like, and I pretty well went through that and covered that, you know, how you need to have it or treat it. But we have the other sections here for the, for example, the fermentables, you know, starches and sugars. There's a link on that page that that's actually a link there. I'll probably be putting a little bit more explanation in this block after this. But if you go ahead and click on that link, that'll open up a new page. You know, you won't lose this page, but it'll open up a secondary one. So if we go ahead and click on that, it'll open a page called Base Malts and Grains. Okay, so this is for if a person does a full boil for making beer. And this is where you're brewing from whole grains. And like I said, brewing it in and of itself is not rocket science. You know, it's like I say here, it's simply a process where you turn the carbs and the sugars that are in your base malts into a most excellent adventure. Or, boy, just thinking of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure there. You turn it into a most excellent beverage. Now, on this particular page, I've basically got two columns in a table here. On the left side, it's for the type, and then there's a description of what the base malts are. The base malts are what you actually do the ferment on. You will, if you decide ever to do a full boil, what you'll be doing is getting your grains together that you're going to be using, your malts, and processing them to extract the starches and sugars out. And the process of extracting the sugars and the starches out from the grains is where you create your sweet wort. The barley, once it's been roasted, it develops the amylase enzyme, which actually at a given temperature will activate and convert the starch to sweet sugars. Again, that'll also be another page. Basically, I'll be going through and detailing the entire process, kind of in a generic format of what temperatures you use and how long you keep the temperatures at each stage. But that's probably a subject for most of an evening in and of itself. But let's just go ahead and scroll down through this page a little bit. Like I said, you have your base malts, then you have caramel malts. These are malts that have been where the barley is malted, and it's referred to as a green malt. And then the grains are dried, and depending on the temperatures and how you do it, it can be all the way from a light caramel onto a darker caramel. Next item in here is a dark malt. And this is a malted barley which has been roasted longer. And the longer you roast it, the darker it gets, and well, it loses some of the sweetness and develops other flavors. Again, next item down, light malts. Again, I have a fairly long detailed description in here. It's worth reading and to understand more about these. And again, you know, as we go down, we have other items. You know, roasted malts again. It's, you know, the explanation is there in a black malt. Now, black malt is actually a malted barley that's been basically roasted a long way. It's basically roasted until it's almost like a coffee color. And there basically are no enzymes left in there because of the heat processing and roasting. So you can't use a whole lot of black malt in a beer. What'll happen is it's basically in there, again, for the almost a coffee-type flavor and also for the coloration. Okay, next thing down I mentioned in here is unmalted barley. Unmalted barley is basically barley that hasn't been sprouted. Of course, you can go ahead and roast that through the various stages, just like a malted barley. the use of a unmalted barley, though, in a beer. It does help with creating the head on a beer. You know, when you pour it, you get your foam at the top. That's the head, and a little bit of unmalted barley helps with that. And if we go further down the list here, there's some other items that can also be used in your making your sweet wort for brewing. A lot of places are using some corn these days. I myself, unless you grow your own corn and crack it, I wouldn't advise using it because I've just got this real big thing against, you know, GMO products. If I'm not going to be eating GMO corn, I certainly don't want to be drinking it either. Next thing is grits. And again, there's an explanation of that. It's, you know, grits are, you know, ground up corn or wheat or whatever. Next item down, oats. There's actually some beers that are produced that use a fairly significant amount of oats in making the sweet wort. Okay, following that, rice. Rice has actually been being used more in beers over the last 10, 20 years. Yeah, they produce more of a lighter beer. And then the last item we have on this page is wheat. Wheat can also be used in brewing beer. Again, wheat does not have the amylase enzyme in it, even when it's malted, or at least doesn't have very much. So wheat, you know, you can use a fairly significant portion of wheat in a mix of grains that you're going to brew with, and this gives a lighter beer. Let's see, Weiss beer, a white beer, you know, from, you know, the German terminology. So that said, let's go ahead and, you know, close this page, and then we'll go back to our main one, to our elements of fermented beverages. And if we scroll down, there's hops has a link in here. So if you click on that link, it'll bring us to a page here about hops. And again, I've got, you know, more of an explanation in here of, you know, why hops are used, where it comes from, and all that. And also have a little bit more of a description of the alpha acids, international bittering units, which again, that's a measurement of how bitter a beer is. And yes, it's basically, you know, like I said, a generalized description of hops. And again, if you scroll down, you'll see, you know, two columns, a type and a description. The type column is a list of a lot of different hops that are being used today. And obviously this is not a complete list. It's a big long one. But, you know, it's by no means a complete list. You know, my Falconer's Flight isn't even in here. So, but it's an education in and of itself. It's, if you're interested in, you know, the differences between the different hops, this is one source that you know, kind of gives you a little bit more information about it. So we'll go ahead and leave that page. We'll go back to our main page where we were at. And there I have a section here called adjuncts. It's extra starches, flavorings, and sugars. So if you click on that, again, it'll bring you to a new page that's separate from the other one. And this is for the adjuncts or the additives for beer. And this is for the, I wasn't sure of exact words I should use here, so I just called it non-whole grain malt extracts. And again, this is basically a partial list of the things that you can use in a beer. You can actually use this list if you don't want to go through the whole hassle of boiling out the grains, because you have malt extracts here, and malt extracts can come in two forms, either a dry malt extract or a syrup. I myself, when I'm doing a fairly quick beer, I'll use a combination. I'll use dry malt extract, usually about 3.3 pounds, and I'll use a can of malt syrup or malt extract. It's a liquid format. It's a very thick syrup. So those usually run about about 3.3 pounds as well. So altogether, you end up with a little over 6, almost 7 pounds. In addition to using a dry malt extract and a wet extract or a syrup, there are other things that could be put in. Some people will put, like it shows here, a refined starch. Again, when you do a combination of a dry and a syrup, sweet wort, you'll be wanting to boil that for close to the hour point, like I said, so you can add your hops in as you would with a full boil. And any of the extra starches that you put in, whether it be from potato starch, corn starch, rice starch, you know, whatever. Those starches, because the dry malt extract and the syrups are the malt syrup, they have the amylase enzyme in it. It will convert those starches to sugars. And again, kind of going down through here, you know, we have syrups and sugars. There are other syrups that one can add. I've heard of some people actually making a maple beer, you know, which, again, with the maple syrups, that'll give it its own unique flavor. Also, some people will use sugars in a beer. That'll help boost the alcohol content when you're making it. And again, next item, my favorite, demerara sugar. Again, that's a minimally processed sugar, and you get your extra, you'll pick up a few extra vitamins and minerals out of that. And plus, it has, like I said, its own flavor. It's almost like a toffee flavor or a kind of a light molasses type flavor. You know, not like what you get from brown sugar, because brown sugar is nothing more than pure, refined white sugar with a little bit of molasses added back to it. Demerara, it hasn't gone through that whole process, so it has just the natural molasses-type flavors. And then down here at the bottom of the list, or the next item, cocoa, which is one that I love putting in beer. It helps with the body of the beer, makes it a little bit more robust, and it doesn't add a whole lot of sweetness, but it adds an overtone for flavor that I enjoy. A lot of the dark beers, if they, you know, mess around a little bit with the black malts, or, you know, the extremely dark malts, when they do a full boil, you can achieve a similar flavor. But like I said, I happen to like using cocoa. And the last thing on the list here is syrups. And again, you know, like it says here, a lot of these syrups will come from either sugar cane or beets. There's also high fructose corn syrup. And again, since I'm not a real fan of GMOs, I don't use high fructose corn syrup. So, with that said, let's go ahead and go back to our other page. Well, in looking here at our page here for Brewing 101, I don't believe I would have enough time here tonight to you know, completely run through this traditional brewing flow chart. So I think I'm going to go ahead and save that for next week because, like I said, it doesn't look like a whole lot here, but some of these things will take a little bit more explanation. So, yes. But, of course, this will be available here this week for, you know, people to look at, you know, kind of do a sneak peek and kind of look at what we're going to be covering as we go along. If you scroll down here a little bit more, you'll see another block here that I really don't have anything in here. And I have it currently. I've got it labeled Anatomy of a Brew. Well, this week I'm going to be going ahead and basically filling that in to show the steps for doing an extract style brew versus a full boil brew process. So, okay. Well, let me do this. I'm going to go ahead and play another tune in here that was requested a week or two back. I think it was by Natty. And it's about My Little Armalite. So let's take a listen and we can enjoy that choice.
I'm just down along the fall road, it's where I long to be. Lying in the dark with the provo company. A comrade on me left eye, another one on me right. A trip of ammunition for me little Armalite. I was stopped by a soldier, he said, "You are a swine." He hit me with his rifle and he kicked me in the groin. I begged and I pleaded, oh, my manners were polite. But all the time I'm thinking of me little Armalite. And it's down in the bog side, it's where I long to be. Lying in the dark with the provo company. A comrade on me left and another one on me right. And a clip of ammunition for me little Armalite. Well, this brave RUC man came marching up our street. 600 British soldiers he had lined up at his feet. "Come out, you curly Fenians, come on out and fight," he cried, "I'm only joking," when he heard the Armalite. And it's down in Malachi, it's where I long to be. Lying in the dark with the provo company. A comrade on me left and another one on me right. A clip of ammunition for me little Armalite. Well, the army came to visit me, it was in the early hours, with Saracens and Saladins and ferret armored cars. The thought that had me cornered, but I gave them all a fright, with the armor piercing bullets off me little Armalite. And it's down in the new lodge, it's where I long to be. Lying in the dark with the provo company. A comrade on me left and another one on me right. A clip of ammunition for me little Armalite. Well, when Pryor came to Belfast to see the battles won, the generals, they had told him, "We've got them on the run." But corporals and privates, while on patrol at night, say, "Remember narrow water and the bloody Armalite." And it's down across the glen, it's where I long to be. Lying in the dark with the provo company. A comrade on me left and another one on me right. And a clip of ammunition for me little Armalite.
I believe that's probably about all that I should probably do tonight here. So, like I said, thank you very much for all of you for joining me here in the Tinker Shop. So it's like I said, it's a pleasure to be able to, you know, partake of some of the knowledge that I have, and you know, like I've said before, I have a funny feeling someone out there somewhere needs to have this knowledge, and so that's why I'm going ahead and presenting it. I know somewhat you know, some of this is probably a little bit more in detail than most people would really be interested in hearing. You know, a lot of people would just rather have just a recipe. You know, take X amount of this, X amount of that, X amount of this, and just mix it together and go ahead and do it. But sometimes it's helpful to have the knowledge of exactly why things work the way they do. So, with that said, again, thank you for joining me here in the Tinker Shop tonight. I'll be back next week on Saturday at 9 p.m., you know, God willing. I know I've got to go in this next week and have some more work done on my eyes, but we should be good to go after that. So take care, God bless, and thank you very much. And this was the broadcast for Saturday evening, the 23rd of February of 2014. Take care. God bless.
I was a highwayman along the coast roads I did ride, sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her marbles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The master from me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive.
I was a sailor, I was born upon the tide, where the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went along the world with things a little blow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed, but I'm living still. I was a vandal across the river deep and wide, where steel and water didn't collide. A place called Boulder on the wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into the wind-tongued below. They buried me in that grave with no soul sign, but I am still around. I'll always be around, 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 around.
Guns, self-defense, survival, current events, and your future.
Can't take me. Yeah!
We're rapidly approaching desperate times. Have you prepared your family physically, mentally, spiritually to face these times?
Till you know what's inside. Don't push me outside. Never.
tyrant has overstepped his authority. What will you do when he comes to your door?
You can't take me.
Please join us here on Just Measures Radio Network for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m.
Pacific Time.
It's easy to take liberty for granted when you've never had it taken from you.
There are a few things life has to offer that is a great above the rest. Good friends, good food, and a premium handmade cigar from F.K. Kristen Pipe Company. All Just Measures Radio listeners get 10% off all singles and 15% off all boxes. And when you order a box, you will also get one of Natty's Selects free. That's right, with every box purchase, you get one of my hand-picked favorites along with 15%. This is a deal that cannot be beat. You can call or email Stacy via the link at Just Measures Radio or JustMeasuresCS.com. F.K. Kristen, your premium cigar company. And yes, each one is rolled on the thighs of virgins south of the border.
Drink my wine.